In about a month, trekking season starts at the Kokoda Track in Papua New Guinea. But traditional landowners there have closed the start of the trail in protest over how it's being managed. The ABC's PNG correspondent Eric Torchek has just returned from talking to the landowners who have put up the blockade, and he joins me now via Skype. Eric, thanks for your time. The management of the Kokoda Track is a complicated political issue, but in simple terms, can you tell me why traditional landowners have closed off the start of it?
I can tell you what they say, or the reason they say they've closed it off, which is because they're unhappy with the funding arrangements, particularly funding from the Papua New Guinea government. Management of the track and initiatives along it are jointly funded by the Australian and PNG governments, and they say the PNG government hasn't been delivering on its promised funding, and it's delivered through something called the Kokoda Initiative, and they say that it's no good for Australia to build schools and, you know, teachers' accommodation and health clinics if the PNG government doesn't staff them. And they say that they've missed out on economic development opportunities because of mismanagement of the Kokoda Initiative, and that they've been tolerating this situation for 10 years, but they're fed up now. That's the reason they're giving. The background to it is the PNG government has just commissioned a review of the management of the Kokoda Track, and it's managed by a body called the Kokoda Track Authority. Trek operators have been really unhappy with that body for years, say it's failing. The track is deteriorating, facilities are getting worse, organisation of the and the management of the actual trekking groups is not working from the PNG side. This is the PNG government's response, supported by the Australian government, and part of this is probably a reaction from certain individuals who stand to lose if that review goes ahead.
There's clearly a lot of frustration over how the track is being managed, as you've just expressed. You mentioned that it's a joint initiative between Australia and PNG. What does that mean in terms of Australia's muscle here in this arrangement and trying to get this back on track?
Look, Australia, as far as muscle has, Australia has soft influence in as much as it provides the support that, you know, some monetary support, a fair bit, about $6 million, or $5 million, I think, per year. And that's not all just for management. That's also for other initiatives, the health and education initiatives that I mentioned. And it provides some technical support and some staff who actually help the operation of the Kokoda Track Authority, which is, it's a PNG government body. It's under the Department of Provincial and Local Level Government here in PNG. So as far as Australia's direct influence, it does it, you know, in cooperation and a step back ostensibly from the PNG government. It doesn't want to be seen to be managing the track itself. The track is in Papua New Guinea. Yes, it's important to Australia, but it's important from the Australian perspective that PNG are the ones that actually do the management. So it's not something Australia can step in and go, open the track now. That's not how it's going to work. They're going to have to allow the PNG government to sort this out.
Did you get a sense of how long they'll keep it closed? Do you think it'll be open for the start of trekking season and, of course, crucially for Anzac Day, when a lot of people travel there as part of the World War II commemorations?
The longer they keep it closed, the more money they lose. So these are landowners from the section of the track sort of just out of Port Moresby. But everybody gets money. All the landowners get money from trekking permits, which is what every trekker pays to the Kokoda Track Authority. And some of that money is meant to go back to the landowners. But also, these are the people most often who are employed as porters on the track. The women sell fruit and scones and all sorts of things to trekkers. And these people own the guest houses and the campsites upon which the trekkers sleep. So I get the sense that, you know, everyone's pretty confident that this blockade will be lifted by the time that the trekking season comes. But if it's not, if this problem continues, it's the landowners themselves who stand to lose money.
Okay, so there's an economic imperative for them to try and get this on track effectively.
I think this is an attempt to get some attention. It's an attempt to led by certain people to make sure the PNG government looks after them in whatever's coming next with its review of the KTA. I think people know that it will it wouldn't be great for them to let this blockade really affect the reputation of the Kokoda Track and trekker numbers this year, because really they're the ones who lose economically if that happens.
What is the PNG government saying in all of this?
I just spoke with the head of the Tourism Promotion Authority, which is the main body that's going to be handling sort of the Kokoda Track probably into the future. And essentially, they're going to have a meeting tomorrow morning. They're going to, with a couple of departments that have carriage of the Kokoda Track, and they're going to try and work out ways of negotiating with the landowners to get this blockade lifted. They're fairly confident they'll be able to do that. The problem is that, you know, the outward demands the landowners are making relate to a pretty complicated joint funding agreement between Australia and PNG, and the problems that they're identifying with it are ones of implementation on the PNG side that are really typical of any kind of program here in PNG. Typical in terms of, you know, there aren't health workers to staff clinics, there aren't drugs, there's all those problems right throughout the country. The Kokoda Track region's no different. So there's not something the PNG government can solve overnight. But luckily that doesn't really, I mean, if you look through behind the scenes, it's not the real problem. So really, if they sit down with everyone, they keep everyone happy, you know, I expect they'll be able to resolve this problem.
Have traditional landowners closed the track before?
Yes, but not for years and years. They've had a really good run, and that's because I think the Australian government has had a role in you know, providing some of those services and facilities that have kept people pretty happy, and they've provided technical support to allow the KTA to function. I think that, you know, what we're seeing now is really because there's a question mark about how the management authority is going to keep working. People don't like uncertainty, and they're not so happy with change all the time, and especially if they're worried they might stand to lose. But really, everyone would benefit if the Kokoda Track Authority ran better. You'd get more trekkers, the track would be in better condition, and the facilities would be better. That's certainly what the tour operators argue, and having been along the track myself, there's no doubt about it that it could be run much better. So, landowners know that they stand to benefit, but they're never going to agree on how, and not every landowner group supports this blockade either.
No, so there's division there too. Look, Eric, thank you so much for joining us and explaining what's going on.
Pleasure.
That's the ABC's PNG correspondent, Eric Torchek, who's just returned from talking to the landowners who've put up this blockade. His call is that it'll probably be open by Anzac Day, but, you know, we don't know yet.